verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we are studying, excuse me, I think I left most of my voice up on that mountain. Pray for me today. I think I'm about as tired as a person can be without actually being asleep. But I tell you what, it was worth it, and we'll talk more about it tonight. But it says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Looking back at verse 28, and God hath set, God hath set everything that we have in a Baptist church. It is what, let me clarify. God gave the Baptist church everything it needs. We don't need to add to it. And those things that he has given us, we ought to be glad for. In our study of this in the past, I've made the statement several times that when the first church was started, it didn't have a name. It didn't need a name. It was just one of Christ's churches. And I want to be clear that, and I've also made the statement that we're not taking it off of our sign for whatever, for any reason. And that may sound a little bit confusing, but it's really not. At the time, we didn't need a name. Today, we do. I'm glad for the name we have. And we ought to be glad for it because I believe that it is a name that God, through our enemies, has given us. The Baptist name, or the name Baptist, is a time-honored name. Despite what many would say, Baptists claim a noble history, one written in blood, but one never stained with the blood of others. You look at the Catholic Church for all that they pretend to be. What you have to understand about the Catholic Church is when they are the dominant religion, they are a lion. So in a country where they're the dominant religion, they're a lion. They take over things. They murder people. You go down to South America and you take a look at that situation that they've got down there. Why are they so poor? Why are they so overrun by drug lords and gangs and things like that? I'll tell you why. Because the Catholic Church destroyed that part of the world. Just destroyed it. And then you see where they are, like when they come to America. What are they in America? They're not lions here, are they? They're lambs. Oh, they're so sweet. They're so nice. They're so charitable and giving. Why? Because they've got to compete. But in other areas, they don't mind shedding blood. They've never mind our blood on their hands. They've never mind the blood of others on their hands. They can't claim that. And any church that came out of it, I firmly believe, shares in that claim. They too have been aggressive. They too have committed atrocities against the Bible, atrocities and blasphemies against God. We are a line. We are the true line, and not just the true line, but we've stayed faithful. And also that we've never hurt anybody in our attempts. We've never hurt anybody in our obeying to God because God would never ask us to hurt anybody. I talked to a Muslim one time, and they said, oh yes, in the Quran it talks a lot about jihad and killing infidels, but that is only for the more conservative, only for the more old-fashioned of us. How can you follow a book that tells you to murder? And I get it, we've got people like that too who look at Bible doctrine and just pull back from it. But how on earth do you sit there and say, well, I'm going to cherry pick through a book that says if people disagree with you, kill them. We have no blood on our hands. We as an organization, being that we have very little organization, we're independent. But we, as God's people, have no blood on our hands, at least not collectively. The name Anabaptist can be traced back to the 4th century A.D., when it was used by the Donatists, or for the Donatists. The writing of the Catholic Cardinal Hosius dates the use of the name back to this time. And we've got this here. Cardinal Hosius, a member of the Council of Trent, back in A.D. 1560, in a statement often quoted, says, "If the truth of religion were to be judged by the readiness and boldness of which a man of any sect shows him suffering, then the opinion and persuasion of no sect can be truer and surer than that of the Anabaptists, since there have been none for these 1,200 years past that have been more generally punished, or that have more cheerfully and steadfastly undergone and have offered themselves to the most cruel sorts of punishments than these people." Now, I've told you several times, we can trace our history through what our enemies have said about us. Now, that's what our enemies said about us back in the 1500s. And he dates that back previous to that till 1,200 years. He knows that we've been there. Oh, we've had different names. They've called us different things. But there's always been a group of people who believe just the same as we have. Why? Because they were taught at the feet of Jesus Christ. They had the author and finisher of our faith as their leader, as their instructor. We see also, he said this, "For not so long ago I read the edict of the other prince who lamented the fate of the Anabaptists who, so we read, were pronounced heretics 1,200 years ago and deserving of capital punishment. He wanted them to be heard and not taken as condemned without a hearing." Now remember what happened. When the Catholic Church began, there was this massive council where they brought everybody together. And God's true churches saw what was going on, and we refused to go. They said, "We're going to gather all of us together, and we're going to have this meeting, and we're going to discuss doctrine. We're going to decide some things." And there was a group of true New Testament churches that saw that, or that heard them getting together and goes, "We don't have to decide. It's already decided. We don't have to debate it. It's already settled." And they didn't go. During that meeting, it was decided that any group that was not a part of that meeting would not only be called heretical, but would be deserving to be put to death. And there we have it right there in the public notes. These things, you know, when we get together and we discuss with people of other religions and they disagree, they are disagreeing with their own written history. And there, any Baptist, anybody who's ever said the Baptists are a newer invention, can look back at these writings and say, "Hey, look, they, even our enemies, admit that we've been around for longer than they have. There is no question as to the perpetuity of the Baptist Church. There is no debate in that. When even your enemies will agree." Now, you get two enemies in anything. The story is very seldom the same, is it? Depending on who you ask is the end. So when you've got enemies agreeing on something, well, what does that tell you? Right? It's convenient for both of us to know the truth in this case. So we know it to be true. So the name Baptist is a good name. We died under that name. We were persecuted under that name. There are Baptists out there in foreign countries now, persecuted under that name. And now the states, as we pay attention to the states, we are becoming under persecution again. There's almost always a bill, either on the state or federal level, trying to tax churches. Now, I'll tell you this, there's some places that call themselves churches. They're not churches, they're franchises of a business. That's my opinion. And I can prove it. You look, if I were to go and how they franchise a fast food restaurant or a grocery store or something, you look at those same rules, it's the same rules for how they're running their church. And some of them are making just about as money as one of these fast food franchises. So that's always been my opinion. I think, you know what, if you're sitting there and you're renting out a bowling alley in the lobby, I'm going to pick on that thing forever. If you guys hear too much about it, maybe we'll go down there and you'll see it and get just as mad as I am. That downriver, there's this franchise place, well, those non-denoms. and they've got a bowling alley and a bounce house in the foyer for the kids to come. And when they're not having churches, they rent it out for birthday parties and whatnot. Now, I'm not a tax genius, but that does not sound like a nonprofit organization to me. I don't know. So yeah, I'm perfectly okay with that. If they're raking in millions of dollars, that's fine. I was talking to a young girl this week at camp. She was over at a Pentecostal thing, and they were charging $400 for this to go to this conference. But if you donated $4,000, you got more privileges. I go, that is an awful lot of money to pay to go to church. Right? I was teasing Jack. We were on the way down, and he wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. We passed all the Chick-fil-A's. He goes, well, can we just turn around? It's only 10, 15 minutes. I go, oh, sorry. You got to pay more for the higher package for us to do things like turn around. Could you imagine that? You know, if 6 o'clock, we've got prayer band. But I tell you what, if you tithe an extra $4,000, you get to come to the 5:30 prayer band. You know what I mean? If you give $5,000 or more, you get to go first in line during the fellowships. Right? If you give a significant amount, well, hey, we'll name the whole fellowship hall after you. And you and your whole family always get to go first. Yeah, it's just, that's not it. So I get it. I get why they would see that. And they would say, well, we ought to tax these people. But they don't know what churches are. From renting a van to doing things for our conference, everybody treats us like a corporation, but we're not. I'll talk to people I know. Well, does your church take an offering? Yeah. Well, see, I think that's wrong. So, well, see, I think that's how we keep the lights on. I think that's how we keep the things up to date. I think that's how, you know, that's necessary. Now, we're not sitting there we're not getting rich in our bank account. We're not hoarding gold. We're doing what we can to serve the Lord. And yeah, we do save, but I think that's good stewardship. We keep good stewardship practices, but there's a difference between getting rich like they're doing and sustaining ourselves like we're doing. And that we are not a business. Some of them are businesses. Some of them, they really are. They'll even make big names of themselves going, well, we're non-organized. We're not an organized, we hate organized religion. We just want you to come as you are, but you got 15 campuses. That sounds like an organization to me. Right, but anyway, we ought to be glad for our name. We've done nothing wrong. We've kept the faith. We've held on to the doctrine. Now, have individual churches gone astray? Yes. Have individual people gone astray and done bad things? Yes. But we, under the name of Christ, have kept our hands clean. And God commands us to do so. I would go so far as to say that the name Baptist is a practical name. It tells you exactly what we do. We baptize. And that's what our Lord saw fit to partake in. That's what God put John the Baptist on earth to do. That was the plan. When we bring them in, you have to make a public statement. You think of any of the other quote-unquote religions that were happening when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on earth. Right? They participated in religious sports and religious activities under their fake gods, their stone gods, their weird worshiping tactics. They did those things, but there was no physical commitment. They could come and go as they pleased, and they got pleasure out of what they were doing, and then they could go for a while. We're the only ones that say, please get up here and state to us that you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. And there's a reason why we did it out in public. Right? The reason you had to make a public statement. This is what I believe. Now, I don't think the public part is necessary. I think we ought to do it right here. You know, you get some of those out there. Well, come on Saturday. We fill up the horse troughs and we'll put you down. No, it ought to be done in front of the whole church. There ought to be a publicness to it, but I'm just saying we're not going to go down to the Flint River to get them done. Does that make sense? We could do that here in a very public way. To come, please make this statement, but it tells you what we're about. Romans 16, verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. And it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So when there's a church out there and they're sprinkling babies. And they say, well, we serve the same God. No, you serve differently than I do, and God told you not to do that. And you think you are obeying God, so we don't serve the same. And I'll mark you. That is not something I'll participate in. Well, don't you think that that's rude and judgmental? According to Scripture, I have to do this. You are purposely doing something wrong, and I'm going to pay attention to it. If you went to a nice restaurant, you know, it's Sunday. A lot of folks go to a restaurant on a Sunday. You go out to a Sunday, and we don't do it up here in Michigan, but in other states, they'll put the grade on that restaurant. You know, A through D or something like that is what they do. They'll rate the restaurant. You know, the health department will tell you if it's safe or not. You go in and you see big red signs saying condemned on that door, you wouldn't walk in there. You're looking at the reviews and it says, well, they've got cockroaches everywhere and in the soup. You wouldn't go in there. And if you do, I ain't going to judge you for some cockroach soup, but I wouldn't go in there. And that is what we're doing. You go in there, they teach false doctrine. Not by my statement, not by my belief, but right here in this book it says that's not the way you do it. Right? And then you get some that try to get around it. Well, we baptize babies. I can't remember which one of the, I think it's the Greek Orthodox, you can correct me later if I'm wrong. They'll baptize a baby. Just dunk a baby under the water. Now, what are we saying? If the purpose is to show the death, burial, and resurrection, to dunk a baby that has no awareness of what's going on is not only child abuse, but it's faith abuse. That's wrong. So what do? We mark them. You know, I've taken some heat over the years for being rude, let's say rude, to false religion. I said, well, you shouldn't call it false religion. I go, but that's what it is. This is what's true, right? Let God be true and every man a liar. And that's what it is. Do you stomach liars? I don't like dealing with that sort of a thing. So no, it is a practical name. It tells you what we're about. We ought to mark those that disobey the godly direction for what baptism is. 1 Corinthians 11:19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. It is not practical, especially in these ecumenical days, to simply be Baptist in principle, but not in name. We ought to have our name. You know, well, we got to about 4,000 people and we realized that we kind of hit a plateau. So what we did is we took the name down and it took the stigma off of it. Well, what stigma comes with the word Baptist? Our doctrine. Well, that's what that verse says. Where those out there in heresies, there ought to be a distinction between us and those heretical people. And one of them is that name on that sign. I want you to know what you're getting when you walk in.
Amen, brother.
And I have no shame in being a Baptist. I know you're not supposed to be proud of much, but I am proud to be a Baptist. Right? For all the things that people are proud for that they throw a parade for, I'd like to throw a parade about being a Baptist. That's worth it. That tells you something. You know, I can't go to the barber and dye my hair and cut my hair, do whatever they do, to show how proud I am to be a Baptist. I can't go out there and change my clothes and change my voice and sit there and change my Facebook definition of who I am and become a Baptist. What do I got to do to be a Baptist? I got to be saved. I got to be a baptized member of a New Testament Baptist church. I'll even say you got to hang on to Baptist doctrine in order to be a Baptist. What we do to be a Baptist is far harder than what they're throwing parades out there for people for. Well, I tell you what, we deserve one. You ought to be glad to be a Baptist. God gave us that. And there's no shame in it. There's no hiding in it. And for those that would take it off their name, you've heard me say it before. Typically, if they're looking to take the name off the sign, it's because they're looking to distance themselves from what? The doctrine. And typically, if you're looking to distance yourself from the doctrine, you already have. In which case, you're only doing the rest of us a favor by doing it, because I don't want to be associated with you. Right? Go ahead and take on a heretical form of name. Go ahead. I will stick, and we should always stick with the name Baptists. Labels identify, right? You think about that. You're coming back from camp, we've got snacks everywhere, right? You go into the van, there were snacks. We never worked out a vacuum more than we did coming back from camp, just cleaning those vans out. I don't know what those kids were eating, but they shared it with every seat in the place. You know, you sit there, we were going through, we stopped off at a gas station. And what was it, a Buc-ee's. You ever hear of Buc-ee's? We were going through, and Brother Art, you'd have been proud of us. I was going through, and on this big device thing on the center console of the van we rented, I said, we need gas. I clicked on the gas button, and it showed me all the gas stations around. $2.98. Yeah, $2.98. I was like, well, let's go take a look at that. 50 pumps. The inside of this gas station was bigger than any Walmart I've been into. I kid you not. I'm not joking. We're going through. I'm like, all right, guys, 15-minute break. Use the facilities. Promise me you'll use the facilities. Place was huge. It was huge. It's huge. I'm going through what they called the wall of jerky. They had dehydrators in the back. You had some labeled spicy, some labeled plain, some labeled teriyaki. Now, here's the thing. Labels are important in that moment, aren't they? What about out there in the pump? The labels on the pump, are those important? Tells you what happens. Is there a bad effect if you mix up the jerky flavors, if you mix up the gas? Is there a bad effect? Absolutely. Is this sugar or is this flour? Who knows? Let's guess. We don't do that, do we? We want to know what it is. Anybody who drives by our church needs to know who we are. And I would say this as well, that God needs that recognition. We ought to give God that fealty, that respect, that dedication. Lord, this is a name you gave me. We're going to take it seriously. We're going to hang on to it. We're going to have it. Lord, we're not going to take away, we're not going to throw away anything that you've given us. So labels, they identify, they distinguish things, right? The difference between medicine and poison. The difference between the left shoe and the right shoe. These things matter. Labels also specify. Most supermarkets carry several brand names of different items, right? Anybody here, you're particular. There's one thing you buy, it's got to be particular. You know, I already know, don't I? What kind of hot dogs do we get? The first thing we had here, I was taken aside by at least probably 10 of you. Brother, if we're going to have a cookout, you know we have Kogels here. We got to get Kogels, make sure they're Kogel hot dogs. Okay, all right. It matters, doesn't it? It does. Folks, this is serving God. If we care about our barbecue fodder, if we care about the stuff we put in our carts, oh my, well, we better. Oh, we had better be specific about our way of worshiping God. Because God cares about such things. I get frustrated by these people. Well, God just wants you there. Let me tell you about a God who instructed the high priest to put bells on his clothes just in case he messed up, because when God killed him for messing up, they would want to know that he stopped moving so they could drag him back out by a rope. That's how specific God is about his statutes. Now why? Why would God be like that? I don't know. It's almost as though he knows we have a penchant for being foolish about important things. Right? Gave us one rule, we broke it. So yeah, he needs to set the standard high and set the punishment there. In my house, growing up, there were rules. And I know what the punishment was for breaking certain rules. Why did my mom give me rules and a punishment that went with them? Because she knew what? I needed something to keep me in line. Doesn't matter how grown you are, that sin nature of yours means that you need something to keep you in line. And these doctrines do it. So we must take these things seriously. We must be what we're labeled to be. We can't be anything else. The trend among 21st century Baptists was to eliminate the name Baptist. That happened a lot. You know, when we go through the mid 1900s, you know, we're sitting there in the, maybe not mid, but let's say the 80s on up, there was a lot of that pulling the name of Baptist off of the thing. Now, in Flat Rock, we competed. I don't want to say we competed because we weren't offering the same thing. We were offering the Bible. They were offering Xbox. And I'll pay your bills. You show up to our church. So it's Kirby Baptist Church. They opened up right down the road from 275 down there off of Will Carlton. And they had these massive buses, and they were picking kids up. And they were playing video games in Sunday school and reach underneath the pew and here's a ticket. Hey, we'll pay one of your bills this month. If you reach under there, you got it. Oh, bicycles for this and motorcycles for that. They were just giving things away to get people in. So when I'd go door to door, we'd go invite people. Oh, we're a Baptist church. Oh, like Kirby Baptist Church. Do you guys give away? What do you guys do? We preach the gospel. But yeah, but what do you give away? What do you guys... What kind of games do you guys have in yours? Like, what are you doing to keep up with them? Well, they're running a different race, right? We're pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're doing one of those weird 5K fun runs where they throw colored paint at each other. You know what I mean? Different races altogether. You know, so after a while, they drop the name Baptist off. And I tell you what, we rejoiced as a church. Yeah. Took about 2 years. We're a Baptist church. Oh yeah, what's one of those? All right. No longer confounded by the people over there with a high score on Sunday school, you know? So again, we must be specific and we must be what we stand up to be. And while so many are taking the name off, we need to not only keep the name, but prove what the name is and be a good example of what the name is. Hang on to it. Hey, work the doctrines. Be honest about the doctrines. Some folks, they get too apologetic. Hey, are you one of those churches that believe in the doctrines of grace? Yes, I am. None of this agree to disagree nonsense. I am. Now, why do I agree with it? Because me and my infinite wisdom have decided that that is the camp that I have fallen into. No, no. I'll tell you what Brother Wolf told me. I too would have a problem with the doctrines of grace were it not so heavily prevalent in the Word of God. It's there. With or without me, it's there. No matter how big my camp is, no matter how many people agree with it, it's there. Same as creation. A lot of Baptists have stepped away from a literal six-day creation. And on the seventh day he rested. They're stepping away from it. None that we fellowship with, thankfully, but you see it. They're stepping away from it. When the Lord says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, I'm confused as to how someone else could be confused. You ever been confused about how somebody else could be confused? Well, we really don't know what that means. The evening and the morning were the first day. Not this span of uncountable numbers of years was the first day, but the evening and the morning. So again, we hang on to that. We're not apologetic about that. So you're a young earth creationist? Absolutely. I don't know what's so young about 6,000 to 10,000 years, but sure. 6,000 to 10,000 years, that's what I think. Now, as we hang on to those and we proclaim them, you have to remember it's not just about setting yourself apart as a Baptist. This is obedience to God. This is reasonable service to hang on to these things. Some folks might not care about a name, but you ought to care about God. And he's the one who tells us that this is where we stand. There's many reasons people give. Churches in the Bible weren't called Baptists, so why should we? Denominations are a lot, but what if we just claim to not have one? Wouldn't we be so much more trendy? Wouldn't people like us better? And you get that a lot. Well, we know that we can't get people in preaching that. We know that we can't get people in if we advertise that. And you know what? At what point do you spring it on them? See, these churches that will hold stuff back. Well, when does it come out? Well, when they've been there for a while. All right, well, what if this person sitting up here is brand new? But that person back there has been here for 3 months. Now it's time to spring it on them. Well, I can't because that person's new. Okay, now this person's ready and that person's ready, but we had a brand new family from up the street come in. And oh man, they've got a bunch of teenagers. You know we need teenagers, so we'll hold off a little bit longer. And you don't practice the doctrine, you don't teach the doctrine. What happens after several generations? The doctrine doesn't ever show back up in that pulpit. It's still in the Bible, but it's never in that pulpit. We got to be what we are. We got to stick to it. So many Baptists have become more apostate, tarnishing the name by giving up the doctrine and keeping the name. People these days, they don't want to identify with one or the other. Listen, if you have a problem with identifying with Christ, you're going to have a hard time with this Christianity thing. Well, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want people to know I'm a Baptist. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want people to know I believe that. Then maybe you don't want to be a Christian. Because Jesus never apologized. We're told several times in Scripture not to be ashamed of Christ. So if that's our intention, then maybe we need to stop and double check our salvation. We need to double check that. Because if there's anything in the Word of God that we are afraid people might find out about us, we need to pause. All right, we'll stop right there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this morning. Grateful for the Baptist name. Help us, Father, to never be ashamed of it, because, Father, it's a gift that you've given us. Lord, it might not mean much to the people in this world, but Father, to stand up among your doctrine and proclaim it to a lost and dying world, Lord, is one of the greatest treasures we can have. Lord, you've given us salvation, you've given us truth, and Lord, that extra thing there where we get to stand up and stand in your truth, what a gift. Lord, help us to be proud. Help us to be doing it right. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.